I'm going to be going live. We've got two people on. Let me turn the volume on. All right. We're good. Good evening. It's good to have everyone with us. I hope all enjoyed the service inside today. I do ask you to keep our country in prayer, keep the state in prayer, pray for our leadership in the directions, the decisions to be made in the future. Definitely not over COVID. And so do pray for our safety as a nation, as a church, and pray for the leadership to make the right decisions. If you've got a hymn book, take it and turn it to page number 164. 164. Praise Him, praise Him. 164. Amen. 164. Praise Him, praise Him. Let's stand as we begin to sing. Sing out now. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. On the third, already got it. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Amen. Jacob, open us in prayer. Amen, amen. Take your hymn books, turn over to page 185, 185, My Savior's Love, 185. I do want to praise the Lord. We got a little bit of rain last night, just a blessing to get, and thankful that God sends it right on time, and I'm thankful for His love for us and how He cares for every need that we have. Of course, dying for my sins on Calvary, but then He's not just a sin-saving Savior. He's also a need-supplying Savior. He supplies all my needs. He loves me in spite of me. 185, My Savior's Love. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. On the third, he took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn, or your hymn books, turn over to page number 327, Higher Ground, 327. I'm pressing up. I want that upward way. I hope you do too. And so, 327, Higher Ground. 327. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. On the last, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen and amen. Well, sure is a blessing to be here tonight. Appreciate everyone's faithfulness to tune in. Appreciate your faithfulness to attend, support. The church has definitely been blessed, and I'm thankful for your faithfulness through it. Also with that, I did just barely look at the numbers on the way out the door. For the last 3 days, we've hit a record high. And 3 days ago, we were at 1,900. Last night, we were at 1,990. And today, the high for Georgia was 2,225. And we've definitely been going up in, I would say, astronomical numbers for us when our average was around the high sixes and low sevens for most of all of this. We had had a couple of days that we had peaked, but not like we are right now. And so do pray for our nation, pray for us as a state, and pray for us and our communities. The communities around us, some of them seem like they're on wildfire, and not necessarily a reason to explain it, other than the fact that everyone's kind of thrown care to the wind. And I would recommend, and you say, "Preacher, is this what you do?" It is. If I don't need to go somewhere, I don't go. If I need to, I go, and I'm using caution as I go, and I'm trying to take care of everything. Jeremiah has went one time into a little feed store, and no one was in there. And the whole time we were in there, he had to hold our hands. He couldn't touch anything. And we were so nervous the whole time. But just be wise. And if you don't need to go, don't. And, you know, the only way that you're going to have exposure to it is to be around it. And I know we're getting mail to the house. And I know you say, "Preacher, you're just not going to avoid it all." You're not. But I am going to avoid everything I can possibly avoid. I'm not going to create extra. So that's my 2 cents, my plug. I'm behind my pulpit. When you're preaching it, you can do it your way. But I believe that it would be wise for us to use some common sense. And if you don't need to go somewhere, don't go. And just a thought there. Genesis chapter number 4, we're going to pick back up where we left off this morning. Genesis chapter 4, I am going to read these first 16 verses again. We'll get started here as we look at those, and we'll go on in. I'm not going to re-preach this morning. I hope that you can kind of remember where we were. Not going to do a whole lot in the way of introduction, because I only preached 3 points this morning, so I've got 5 points to preach tonight. So bear with me here. We're gonna go quick. Jacob's already looking to bail out. He's trying to figure out how he's trying to snap his own neck. Well, he's trying to pop it, but from this angle, it looks like he's trying to snap it. Anyway, Genesis chapter 4, if you're there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, 'I have gotten a man from the Lord.' And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Verse 6, "And the Lord said unto Cain, 'Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.' And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, 'Where is thy brother?' And he said, 'I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?' Verse 10, And he said, 'What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth.' And Cain said unto the Lord, 'My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. In verse number 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. Lord, it was so nice and comfortable to be in your house this morning. Father, I'm thankful for the message. I'm thankful for the attendance. Lord, I'm thankful for the sweet spirit that we had, the help that was really gained. It was nice to have the altars open again. And then, Lord, I think about tonight and how we're still needing help. And Lord, we're so uncertain of what's going on as we should be in this time of healing and going back to normal. Lord, we see the flare-up of the COVID again. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us that strength to keep it going. Give us that second wind, Lord, to keep it fighting. And Father, I pray that your will would be done. And Lord, I just ask these things. Meet with us tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We come to this passage of Scripture we were discussing earlier this morning about going out from the presence of the Lord. The Bible tells us here in verse number 16 that Cain had went out from the presence of the Lord. I really believe, if we would be honest tonight, that we would say that that's what's happened to a lot of church members. That's what's happened to our nation. It's not the fact that the lost have been acting like the lost, because that's what they've always done. We could look at all the sins of all mankind, all the accepted sins that are there today. And we would know that those were taking place in Bible times. And those are not new sins. It's still because of man. It's still because of the wickedness and the openness of it. And yet today we had seen and we had ended with the approach of the Savior. As Cain had came out in verse number 6, and he was wroth and he was self-righteous, but God had invited him back. God had invited him to just come to his way. I'm thankful that Jesus still has that same option today. That Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it's not because you join a church. It's not because you do some great thing. There in verse number 7 where he said, thou doest well, doest not thou well. He's speaking about coming to the right way. Yeah, we were eating some corn on the cob today at lunch. And I didn't say it at the time. I was thinking it, and I don't know. I got sidetracked. Maybe Jacob was doing something or Jeremiah was doing something. I don't know. Jacob might not have even been in at the table yet. But we were talking about corn on the cob. I need to do a survey of how many people and how you eat corn on the cob. And Jeremiah, he's 4, and he eats a bite, and then he kind of moves around a little bit, and he eats a bite, and before you know it, it looks like a Tetris design, and he's got that. And I said, Jeremiah, Dad eats it in a straight row. And he said, well, I want to go around. And Sister said, sometimes I do that too. I'll eat all the way around here, and then I'll move over, and I'll eat all the way around, and then I'll move over, and I'll eat all the way around. And I was just thinking to myself, I eat in a straight line. And you say, preacher, is there a biblical reason for that? Absolutely biblical reason. It's straight as the way and narrow, or straight as the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. And so I need to put that out there. Maybe I'll put that on the Spencer Farms page. I don't know. But just do a survey of who eats corn, or how you eat corn on the cob. What's the right way? What's the wrong way? But think about this for a moment. There's only one way. Jesus taught that straight is the way and narrow is the gate. You know, the problem that we have today is too many people want to come their own way. And the approach of the Savior was just that simple approach. It wasn't a rebuke. It wasn't a reproach. He just came to the place that he gave a message of coming to him. And he said, you'll be accepted. I'm thankful in John chapter number 6 and verse number 37, the Bible says that all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Boy, I'm thankful that from the wickedest of sinners, you say, preacher, but he's a murderer. Well, he hadn't murdered at this point. In verse number 7, there's no murder committed yet. There was just the sin in the heart. And by the way, if you've offended in one point, you're guilty of all. James chapter number 2 and verse number 10. And so I find the advance of sin in verse number 8. In verse number 8, we find, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And so if you would, I find here the advance of sin. I find the developing seed. It was a small sin. It was a small issue. It was hidden within the body. It was hidden. There was no action taken against it. But that hatred was already there. That envy was already there. That pride was already there. And it was inside. And may I tell you that the smallest of sin will never stay inside. It's going to come to the place that it's going to manifest. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse number 6, it says that your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33, it says, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You say, preacher, why in the world is that so important? Because it takes just a little bit of hearing the wrong thing and your manners are corrupted too. The Bible says, but shame vain and profane babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. You know, the problem that we have isn't too much godliness. The problem that we have is too much ungodliness. And so we need to shun all of those things. And that little bit of sin that he had, it just began to be manifested. It began to grow. It was that seed. And may I tell you that every seed is designed to where it's going to grow. The Bible teaches us there in the book of Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 7 and 8 that if we'll sow in the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. But if we'll sow in the Spirit, we're going to reap life everlasting. And in verse number 9, it teaches us that there is going to be a harvest. And so we look and we find that this advancement of sin, there is a developing seed, but then we find the destruction of sin. Adam and Eve felt this. In James chapter number 1 and verse number 15, the Bible says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I wonder what Adam and Eve thought when Abel didn't come home. I wonder what Adam and Eve felt when they see that their son's dead. I can imagine Eve looking back at the lust when it began. She had listened to Satan. Then she lusted for that self-enlargement. And as we consider this picture, as we consider what's taking place here, as much as there was a spiritual death at the time, now there's a physical death. May I tell you, and I know the old saying, you've heard it before, that sin will take you further than you want to go, it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. We know that. But may I tell you that now it's a reality. There will be a time in your life that sin will destroy you if you allow it to have its place. Look back up at verse number 7. You see, God had explained this to Cain. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. He said, look, if you'll turn from your way and trust in me, you're going to be accepted. But notice this, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. He said that little envy, that little pride, we've always considered it to be a little white lie. In fact, we won't call it a little black lie. We want to make it look pure. Because if you called it a little black lie, you'd say, well, preacher, that's full of impurity. As we think about that idea there of, it's just a little white lie. It's saying that it's really not that bad and it's really not that impure. It's still a white lie, but it's still a lie. And he says, Cain, sin lieth at the door. Cain, sin's going to be that one that's going to destroy you. Verse number 7, he goes on and he says, unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now some would say that this would be Abel, but I would say that this would be sin. May I tell you, you're either in control through Jesus Christ of your sin, because it's not of your own power, or sin is in control of you. You see, either you have your sin under the blood, and he's cleansed you from it, and he's forgiven you for it, and it's in check, and you're crucifying that old man, and you're crucifying that flesh, and that sin's repented of, or it's going to control you. And so I look here, and I find the destruction of sin. I go on in verse number 9, and I find the arrogance of the sinner. In verse number 9, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And so I find the arrogance of the sinner. I look here and I find a blameless, that he's blameless in his response. He says, I know not. I don't know where he is. How am I supposed to know? May I tell you, this is the same reason that he didn't need that blood offering or that sin offering. It's because he considered himself to be blameless. I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm arrogant in my sin. You see, 1 John chapter number 1, verses 8 through 10 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." You know, the problem with Cain is he did not see himself. He was arrogant in the fact that there's nothing wrong with me. I didn't do anything wrong. I think about the book of Revelation with Jezebel and those that committed whoredom with her. And how she would look up, and even in the book of Proverbs, those that had committed whoredom with that woman, and they would look up and say that I've done nothing wrong. There's arrogance today. I've known of people that have shirts that say only God can judge me. But yet the Bible says that if we'll judge ourselves, the problem is we don't have anything wrong with self. That we're okay. That sin's really not that bad. That sin's really, I don't know why God would be upset about that. We can pick and choose what we want. We can decide that this is okay. And he was to that point that he was blameless in his response. Well, I know the Lord wants me to be faithful to Him. I know the Lord wants me to pray. I know the Lord wants me to read my Bible. I know the Lord wants me to be faithful in church. Hold on a second. I'm talking about the easy things. I know the Lord doesn't want me to lie. I know the Lord doesn't want me to curse. I know the Lord wants me to be faithful. I know the Lord wants me to protect my eyes. I know the Lord wants me to witness to folks. I know the Lord wants me to not have alcohol. I know the Lord wants me to not smoke. I know the Lord wants me to... We can go on and on and on. You say, "Preacher, do you have scripture for all of it?" Yes. James chapter number 4 and verse number 17, "To him that know to do good and do it not, it is a sin." In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." I could use those two verses and cover everything. I mean, honestly, if you just want it in a generic text, it's here in those two verses. "Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world." And so I look and I find his arrogance. He said he's blameless in his response. "I know not." I look as well and I find that he's brutish in his responsibilities. You know, the only one that he cared about was himself. The only one that Cain could care anything about. You know what bothers me so much about all of this shortage? And I know I went on this morning about before I started the service about the lady there at Walmart. You know what bothers me so much is we only care about self. We don't care what others need. We don't care what others are going through. He says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" He was brutish in his responsibility. You say, "Preacher, is it really his responsibility?" That was his own brother. Did he not even care about his own brother? Now, hold on a second. You know what's happening in America today? We're all Americans. I already said that in the morning message. We're all Americans. And now we've came to the place that we hate each other because of where you grew up, because of what color you were born. But listen, I can't help that I'm a white man any more than anyone else can help the race that they were born. And yet we hate each other because of that. That is ridiculous. Or I should get something special because of who I am. That's exactly what Cain said. "Am I my brother's keeper?" He was brutish in his responsibilities, just crude about it, just cruel. We went back to the barbarian days and said, "It's all about me, and I'm going to make sure." And now listen to me. It breaks my heart to think that my child, my youngest child, has to worry about if we're going to be safe. And he knows that dad's going to take care of the family. And I will. You come to my house and you decide that you're going to do something harmful to our family. He already knows Dad's going to do something. But isn't it sad that we're trying to create something that shouldn't be there? And instead of having a love for all people? And you say, "Preacher, how can I love them? I thought that we were talking about the church." Oh, I am. It's amazing how many people don't love each other in the church. But then we look as well and we don't love each other out there either. I need all the toilet paper. I need all the Lysol. I need all the bleach wipes. I need all the cleaning supplies. I need all the this and all the that's. It's amazing that we do the very same thing that Cain did. We're brutish in our responsibilities. We should care one for another. Not just as brethren in Christ, but we should care one for another as humanity, as people, as human beings. You know, we send all these missionaries overseas and we want to see missions reached. But yet, do we really care? Am I my brother's keeper? I find as well in verse number 10 and 11. In verse number 10 and 11, the Bible says, "And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." And so I look here and I find an acknowledgement of sin. An acknowledgement of sin. The first thing that I find in this acknowledgement of sin is that he was uncovered. He was uncovered. I'd like to remind you of Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." In Numbers chapter number 32 and verse number 23, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." It's amazing to me at how many people think that they can live contrary to the Word of God and still be okay. God's really not going to see it. Maybe it's the fact that you're out of town, none of your church friends are going to see it, none of your church family is going to be around, and they're not going to notice it. The pastor's nowhere to be found, and so he's not going to know. But may I remind you that there's one that's always going to know, and he's the one that you're accountable to. And Cain wasn't accountable to Adam and Eve. Listen, isn't it amazing that God didn't say, "Cain, what are you going to tell your parents? That you just killed your brother. What are you going to tell your mother and your father? Don't you know that this was their son too?" That wasn't Cain's concern. He was uncovered from the Lord. Oh, he had hit it up. He responded with the fact that, "I don't know. I know not where he is. I'm not to blame for this." But then I find as well that he was brutish in his response. But then I find that he's uncovered. There's nothing for him to say. There's nothing for him to do. He's standing there before the Lord, and the Lord knows everything about him. He had known the sin that was in his heart before, and then he knew the sin that he had just committed. And may I tell you that God does the very same thing in your life. He knows where you are right now, and he knows where you're going to be 10 minutes from now, 10 days from now, 10 years from now. He knows. He knows that what's in your heart right now. I had told you that the testimony of most Americans are, "I love the Lord." The sad part is he knows that most of them have drawn close with their lips and not with their heart. And so I look and I find that he's uncovered, but with that I find that he's unprotected. He's unprotected. Notice this. In verse number 11, the Bible tells us, "And now art thou cursed from the earth." Now I want you to go back a moment. And I want you to think about who Cain is. I want you to think about where Cain gets his prosperity. I want you to think about how God had blessed Cain. Now, I know that when they were taken out of the Garden of Eden, that we have thorns and weeds and all the fun things of life that come with trying to grow. You know, you look at this, and Cain was passed down the family torch. You remember that Adam was the keeper of the Garden of Eden. And then Adam was going to be a tiller of the ground. Adam was going to have to till, and he was going to have to make his food and make his fruit, and he was going to have to provide all of that because God wasn't doing it anymore. But may I remind you that every time you plant a seed and it grows, God's provided it. We went, I guess it was Friday, we went and we picked up some seeds for our fall garden and start getting everything around for it. And as we do that, the truth of the matter is I pray that they'll grow. You say, preacher, is it because it's too hot? No. Seeds will grow in the heat better than they will in the cold. And maybe it's because of the lack of water. I can always add water. Maybe it's because there's too much water. No, I usually hill up the area to where it's going to grow and the water will drain off. But I cannot create life in that seed. And God had given Cain prosperity. I had told you before that what he had offered the Lord wasn't putrid. It wasn't disgusting. He had offered the best that he could do with his hands. But it wasn't the right sacrifice. And God said, remember all that prosperity? Remember everything that I had blessed you with? Now the earth is no longer going to be prosperous for you. Now the blessings. Now, don't get me wrong. God blesses me in spite of me. I don't deserve one single blessing from God, and yet He still blesses me. But now I find because Cain decided that he didn't want to acknowledge this sin, that now he's unprotected from the Savior. I find that he's unprotected standing in that sin. And without a Savior, we stand unprotected from sin. But we also stand unprotected from the sentence. And I don't want to get into that yet, but I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to look at Joshua chapter number 7. In Joshua chapter number 7, I want to introduce you to a man by the name of Achan. Now, Achan was one of the children of Israel, and he had been involved in the Battle of Jericho. And at the Battle of Jericho, they were told, do not take anything. Everything is going to be utterly destroyed except for Rahab and her family and everyone that's in that room that has that scarlet thread. And so they conquer Jericho. And they march on. The next city is Ai. And they survey Ai and they say, you know, it's really not that big of an area. We don't need to send that many out. And they go out for battle. And they lose some. And Joshua falls on his face by this time. In Joshua chapter number 7, I want you to pick up. And I want you to learn. In fact, they lose, in verse number 5 of Joshua 7, they lose 36 men. By chapter number 19, God has already spoke. I'm sorry, by chapter 7 and verse number 19, God has already spoke to Joshua. They've already drawn lots. They've pulled out from the tribes. And now, Achan is taken. In verse number 19 of Joshua chapter number 7, the Bible says, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord of Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth and in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. And Joshua sent messengers and they ran into the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan and the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. And the Lord turned the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. You know, I find that old Achan, he couldn't even enjoy what he had taken. He couldn't even enjoy that sin that he had. It was hid in the middle of his tent. It was covered up with the earth. May I tell you that he was unprotected from the wrath of God. Oh, listen to me. No longer was Cain going to be blessed with the prosperity. The Bible tells us there that he's going to be a fugitive and a vagabond. He's going to continue to have to run. He's going to continue to have to hide. He's going to continue to have to wander. And so we go on and we find the announcement of the sentence. In verse number 12 through 15, the Bible says, When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto her strength, unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. The very place where ye once got gain, now you're going to be a wanderer. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And so I find here the announcement of the sentence. It's an announcement of no peace. It's an announcement of no peace. You say, Preacher, where do you get that? He's not going to have a dwelling place anymore. The Bible tells us that he's going to be a fugitive. What he called home will no longer be home. He's going to be on the run. He's going to be constantly going. You remember when Jesus, in verse number 7, when God had invited him to come to a place of rest, he said, Will you not be accepted? You know, when we come to him, all we find is rest. And he said, Nope, I don't choose that rest. What I'm choosing is a place of no rest. He's going to be a fugitive. He's always going to be on the run. I find that the word vagabond means a wanderer. He's going to be constantly going. He's going to be constantly wandering. If we were to look over at verse number 16, he's going to go and dwell in Nod. Nod means wandering. He's going to constantly be wandering. He's going to constantly be going to and fro. He's going to constantly be struggling. And so I find that it's a place of no peace. This sentence is a sentence of no peace. May I tell you what this world is missing? You know what the children of God are missing when we come away from God? Peace. You know what this world desires? Peace. They want peace from the COVID. They want peace from the protests. They want peace from the turmoil. They want peace. And they'll never find it without God. They'll never find it without acknowledging our sin. They'll never find it without coming to Him for rest. And so I find that it's not just a sentence of no peace, but it's a sentence of only punishment. Only punishment. You say, Preacher, it's punishment for when he dies. No. No, it's not. There's one thing that really stuck out in my study. I want you to look, if you would, back at verse number 14 towards the end. And he says, And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Now, I know that there is a physical death that comes with that context. But may I tell you that that's not just a physical death. He says everyone that find him slays him. May I tell you, it'd just be the first one that found him that would slay him. After that, it'd be over. So there's something deeper with this. There's another stance or something that we need to pick out of this. He said, everyone that finds me slays me. May I tell you that it's a constant turmoil, a constant punishment, because there's never any forgiveness. even as we look at Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 15, that God tells him that I'll put a mark on you and no one's going to kill you, or they're going to have seven times vengeance. Now, I do know that the Bible teaches us that judge as you shall be judged. But may I remind you that even in Cain's eyes, he had no forgiveness. He couldn't forgive himself because he knew God wouldn't forgive him, because he had chosen not to be forgiven. This mark that identified him as Cain, may I tell you that every time he saw it, it reminded him of what he had done, because it reminded him of who he was. This mark that God put on him for his protection told everyone else who he was too. It reminded them. How many times do you think that he walked past someone only to hear them whispering about him? Oh, listen to me. It's an awful punishment to think that we have sin that's unforgiven that others know about. There was a mark on him that admitted who he was, told everyone who he was. And so I find that that sentence isn't just for now, but it's forever. He was marked for protection, but he was marked so he wouldn't forget either. Notice this. In verse number 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. I find that this is the alternative to salvation. May I be honest with you? The worst part of hell is not the torment of the flame. The worst part of hell is the fact that God's presence will never be there. You see, when Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, he had decided he didn't want saved, didn't need saved, wasn't ever going to be saved. The first born child in the Bible went out from the presence of the Lord. May I tell you, this is the alternative to salvation, because this is leaving the presence of the Lord forever. You see, this is eternally out of the presence of the Savior. He went to a place where he would constantly wander. He went to a place that would constantly give no rest. He went to a place that was apart from where God had had him and wanted him to be and desired for him to be. And so he was eternally out of the place of security. And I know that there's some out there today that believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to be sitting on some sofa eating, drinking some soda, and haven't eaten bonbons. I don't believe that for a moment. But may I tell you that I'm going to be secure. I'm secure now. I'll be secure for all eternity. And I find that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He's eternally out of the place of security. You know, the only place that I have that's security is my place in the Lord. Do we not live in uncertain times? Do we not live in a time where you have no assurance of tomorrow? And yet Cain said, I'm going to go out from that. How sad. How sad. How about you tonight? Maybe you'd even say, preacher, I know I'm saved. How's your fellowship with God? How close are you with Him right now? Are you grieving the Holy Spirit to where you're not in His presence? When's the last time that God spoke to you? You know, some of the... Brother Russell likes to sing in the garden. It's a good song. But I think about just being in the garden and God not being there. It wouldn't be that good of a song. It wouldn't be that good of a garden. But I'd rather be in the garden when God's going to be in there. What keeps me there is the fact that He's there. How about you tonight? Where's your fellowship with Him? How close are you? Is it because you've went out from the presence? I told you this morning that it was Cain that chose. God would have still forgiven him. God would have still accepted him. You say, preacher, he was a murderer. So was David. But the Bible records him as a man after his own heart. The problem is that Cain wouldn't see himself as a sinner. Cain didn't need a Savior. If Cain would have simply said, I'm to blame, I need saved, and offered that, saw that sin offering, that lamb that was the Lamb of God. You know, God would have provided Himself a lamb for Cain the same as He did for Abraham, the same as He did for me. But He went out from the presence of the Lord. You can get help tonight. You can be saved tonight. You say, preacher, you don't know how bad or what I've done. I don't, and I don't need to. But I'm thankful there's a God in heaven that knows all about you and loves you anyway. You're here tonight as a child of God. You say, preacher, it's been so long since I felt the touch of God on me. Why don't you get up and come back in the presence of God instead of keep going further? Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for Your promises that we have. Lord, I'm thankful that You touch and move and direct, Lord. Father, I pray You'd help us tonight, that we would truly seek Your face, truly desire Your will to be done in our life. And Lord, that we wouldn't want to be out of Your presence. And we'll give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.